And go ahead.
Okay.
So we're going to move on to 9.1.4, Project Volunteer. And Sandra, you're going to give us an overview of this project?
I'm going to give you an overview and an update.
Okay, wonderful.
So thank you very much for listening to me. And you can ask questions whenever you like. There you go. Okay.
Just to clarify, it was requested that those presenters wait until after, just so that y'all know I wasn't being a bully.
It was us. Me and April.
Okay. So since COVID-19, statistics show that the number of volunteers in Nova Scotia has shrunk by... Oh, where's my presentation gone? Okay, thank you. Okay, since COVID-19, statistics show that the number of volunteers in Nova Scotia has shrunk by 37,000. Volunteerism and the volunteer groups in our area are what makes our communities unique and attractive to existing residents and newcomers alike. The marked reduction in nominations for our volunteer award ceremony identified a need for a project to reignite volunteerism in our region. A project was outlined and council were notified in October and December of the scope of the Project Volunteer. Project Volunteer was launched to the public on January the 3rd. The project outline was scoped in stages. The first one to gather data from volunteer groups to ask them where they needed help. The second is to raise the profile of volunteerism in our communities with volunteer spotlights in local media. Then we're hoping to run a series of workshops on topics where groups needed most help. Then we'd like to introduce Volunteer Nova Scotia to the groups and highlight the benefits of using their services. Volunteer Nova Scotia is a province-wide service connecting people looking for volunteer opportunities to nonprofits who are looking for skilled volunteers. They have a website and a Facebook presence. And potential volunteers can search for organisations by location and can look for volunteer opportunities that match their skill set. Currently, when you search Lunenburg County, it's a bit thin on the ground, so raising the profile of Volunteer NS would help facilitate when people go and look for a volunteer opportunity. There'd be more to choose from. And the final phase would possibly to hold a volunteer expo where potential volunteers can meet with volunteer organisations. Municipal boundaries are irrelevant to our residents, with many volunteering or enjoying the benefits of volunteer organisations, regardless of which municipality they live in. So we understood that municipal boundaries are very blurred when it comes to using volunteer services. We presented the outline of Project Volunteer to the Lunenburg Queen Directors Association in November 2023, and they all agreed to participate in phase one of the project. Phase one was the survey. The survey consisted of 31 questions covering a variety of topics, but the main purpose was to determine what the groups were struggling with, how concerned they were for their future, their awareness of what their municipal units already do for nonprofit organisations and volunteer groups, if they were interested in attending workshops on particular subjects, and the level of awareness of Volunteer NS. The survey ran for the month of January and was heavily promoted in the print media and on radio. All municipal units promoted on their social media, and Modal's website also carried a landing page banner about the project. I also presented to the groups that attended the two grant information sessions in January. The survey was available online through SurveyMonkey, and print copies were also available. It was circulated to all council members for promotion in their own communities. I was also interviewed on the radio, which was a bit weird. But we also offered respondents an entry for a draw for $100. That was an incentive. And the prize was won by Coastal Action, so an organisation that we're all familiar with, but actually based in Mahone Bay. So the initial result... I need this page now. Oh, oops. The highest number of responses came from organisations in Modal. Bridgewater, the town of Bridgewater, was a close second. The majority were already registered as non-profits with a board of directors in place. Almost 90% of the 146 that responded are actively looking for new members, and they mostly do this through word of mouth and social media. Over 62% were worried about the future of their organisation, and they cited things like ageing board members, difficulty attracting and retaining new volunteers, the need for younger volunteers to step forward, board member and volunteer burnout, the lingering effects of COVID, the reduced capacity of newer volunteer members and funding. They were the common themes. Almost all of the organisation had a website or social media presence, and they used these avenues for self-promotion and event promotion.
Retracting her? Okay.
I didn't want to stop your roll. I'm sorry. Was there any reason given for why new volunteers have reduced capacity?
I think it's a lot of time constraints when they have family concerns and working two jobs. So in the old days, the lady of the house generally would be the one who would step up to volunteer in the community, and nowadays everybody works.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it wasn't explicitly said, but that would be my assumption. Okay.
That was mine too, but I just wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Of the 70% that were aware of municipal grant programs, almost 65% had already applied for funding. Many were aware of their municipal volunteer recognition programs. The main areas where groups needed help are with volunteer recruitment, funding, IDEA, and social media website assistance. Only 55% were aware of Volunteer NS, but 82% believed their organisation could benefit from the services. So what happens next? So the next steps of the project are to carry out a detailed analysis of the results and present the final survey results to council and the findings with recommendations to LQRDA. Depending on their level of commitment going forward, we'll determine how we facilitate the workshops. We'd like to involve Volunteer NS in some content and delivery of workshops, as they already have many resources that we can use. In collaboration with the Progress Bulletin, we want to raise the profile of volunteerism in our communities by beginning a volunteer spotlight in the media, showcasing what the groups do and what services they provide to our communities. And finally, we'll begin looking at the possibilities of holding a volunteer expo event where potential volunteers can meet up with organisations and organisations can get the opportunity to highlight their volunteer opportunities. And that's it.
That's it.
I'm done.
I just have one thought. Begin volunteer spotlight series in the Progress Bulletin. What about in that free newspaper that goes to everybody's home? Because the Progress Bulletin you have to buy, right? Whereas the other one goes to... So where it goes to everybody's house.
So I did reach out very early on in the project to all, even the Lunenburg Barnacle, and it's not exclusive to anyone, but the Progress Bulletin was the one that came back quite keen on pursuing the project. But once I've analysed the survey results, I'll go back to them all and ask them, okay, this is what we'd like to do, how can we facilitate it?
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? It's quite intense work that you're doing, and it is very important and very much needed for organizations to be able to reach out and find people and to connect the people who want to volunteer with the right organization that they want to be a part of.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. We're going to move on to 9.1.5, anti-racism charter within recreation. And Andrew, I believe you're going to be presenting that to us.
Thank you. one sec.
Oh, yeah. A little wonky. Yeah, I sent you a PDF of it by mistake instead of a PowerPoint. But I can go with the... I'll go with the other one.
And I address that while you were gone. Andrew, would it be all right if members of the committee asked you questions throughout your presentation?
They would, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Perfect.
There you go, Councillor Moore.
Perfect. Shock yourself?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, thank you, everyone. Hope everyone's having a good day and enjoyed their lunch. I will be presenting on the Anti-Racism Charter in Recreation, which was created by Recreation Nova Scotia over the last year. Bear with me where this is a PDF and not the PowerPoint. Throughout this presentation, we'll just go over a quick introductory video, which I don't think will actually work with this PDF, so we might skip that, but it's essentially just a quick summary about what the process they went through, and I can explain that as well without the video. I'll go into the areas of focus that are outlined within the charter. Then I'll sort of go into connecting the charter to what we have in Modal, which was approved in October 2023 with the IDEA at Modal policy, and then go over what is sort of the next outlook would look like. This, I think, just comes up as a photo. Yeah, so we'll skip that. So the Anti-Racism Charter in Recreation was put together by Recreation Nova Scotia. They surveyed equity-seeking groups, participants, recreation service providers to gauge the gaps within our services. So they put together this charter to assist these organizations, which are generally community sport organizations and community recreation organizations who have limited capacity to tackle this work. They sort of created this charter as a blueprint for them to easily start incorporating this work within their organization. So it's almost a little bit of a blueprint for organizations so they don't have to start from scratch. and then anyone can sign the charter. It doesn't have to be an organization who is signed with Recreation Nova Scotia. They have their membership, but you don't have to be a member of Recreation Nova Scotia to sign onto the charter. So there are four actions and commitments throughout this charter, acknowledging and addressing racism. So that essentially is just sort of like the zero tolerance policy and then working towards developing further policies and strategies to address racism and equity deficiencies through our communities. We are currently doing that already as a municipality, for example, creating the IDEA Modal Action Plan, which identifies ways we're going to improve through inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. As well as another example would be recognizing sort of the historical inequities within our communities and within our communities, and that could look like celebrating with the flag raisings and having these special days that we acknowledge and sort of put the resources towards to create that welcoming environment, providing ongoing training and educational opportunities. This would be just sort of similarly providing staff an opportunity to develop their learning and understanding of this work, and we it is outlined within the IDEA modal action plan to continue offering training to staff. And then another example that we do for this is that external training that staff attend, they usually report to, you know, their team, and we discussed bringing it back to just SMT, just to share within other directors, other trainings that sort of have been taking place, so then we can share our knowledge with one another. And then another example that we're currently doing is just, you know, working with equity-seeking groups through all stages, just to ensure that, you know, those barriers can be removed, and we're ensuring proper representation through all stages. The third point would be build racially represented communities. Currently, we are, some examples of what we're doing that would sort of check that box would be providing specialized programming, designated programming that might look like our sensory swims, our rainbow swims and skates at the LCLC, as well as women-only opportunities like multi-sport or the swims at the LCLC as well. So just providing spaces that people feel like they are welcome, included, and can participate. And finally, equitable and inclusive opportunities. This would be looking at when you have leadership, council is a great example, having the representation of genders on this board between men and women and age and demographics. I think just having more people with diverse backgrounds at those tables can provide valuable input that would otherwise be missed with if their voices aren't at the table. So just ensuring that as an organization we provide those opportunities. So jumping into IDEA at Modal, the signing the charter is identified within the action plan 4.1.1, which is under service delivery. It's within the action plan. Do you have a question?
Could you just, for the record, tell us what IDEA means? Because I know that's it's an acronym.
Yeah, so it's inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. So it's sort of just like an umbrella term. Sometimes you might see EDIA. They are sometimes interchangeable, but it's sort of those four pillars that we're talking about. So it is identified within the IDEA at Modal Action Plan to sign this charter, and it would be a good opportunity, especially where we recently have hired a staff member, Ella Gindy, as the IDEA sort of lead within the organization, so she'll be leading a lot of this work, as well as forming an internal committee to guide this work, both within the organization and how it translates to the services we provide to our community members. And I'd like to highlight just the five sort of core categories identified within the IDEA action plan: employment practices, leadership and accountability, community and culture, service delivery, and learning and delivery. Learning and development. These five core categories essentially cover up or address each of the four priorly mentioned areas of focus, as we talked about in the last slide: acknowledging and addressing racism, providing ongoing training and educational opportunities, build racially representative communities, and design equitable inclusive opportunities. So through the IDEA at Modal Action Plan, we are already addressing everything that the Recreation Charter suggests. So by signing this check,
Andrew, and to help keep your back healthy, why don't you raise the podium?
we're moving up. All right. Thank you. So by signing this action plan, or by signing the charter, it really shows, A, that we support provincially sort of recognized documents, and sort of with, especially within the recreation world, but it also allows us to be a leader and a resource to other community groups within our community, and we can sort of assist them in developing similar plans, probably not to the extent as we have with the IDEA Modal Strategic Plan, but a smaller, briefer plan that they will be able to sort of start executing actions to address inequities within their organization themselves. One of the other steps would be when we do build an internal committee for this idea at Modal Action Plan, ensuring that a recreational representative is on staff to relay their findings, as well as being a liaison to update Recreation Nova Scotia on what's being done, just to sort of as a celebration. And then just continuing executing the strategic actions within the general action plan. I will say, as I mentioned before, this is a blueprint for a lot of organizations to follow. Modal has done well in the sense that we are already ahead of that, and with the idea at Modal strategic plan, it encompasses everything within the charter, so there is no additional work necessary other than liaising with Recreation Nova Scotia to update them with what's sort of going on at MODL. So it's sort of just it's a good thing to do, sign and show support for the communities. Thank you.
Do we have any questions? I'm Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
Thank you. So again, this was put together through a grant from the federal government. Is that the Canada on the front of the? If you go right back to that. So down at the bottom, I see the Canadian logo.
So they got funded.
So it was funded. That's why that is there. This isn't a federal initiative. It was funded by the federal government to move forward with a plan provincially.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yeah. And it is designed for, it's the anti-racism charter in recreation.
Yes.
However, everything within it is applicable to it, not only recreation as an organizational level, everything can sort of translate. So just by signing this document, like I said, it's not going to be any additional work to, you know, any other departments or anything, but just signing it as an organization rather than just saying the recreation department sort of takes this on, it'll sort of fall under the idea action plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And supplementary.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, the municipality of the District of Lunenburg has already been doing a lot in relation to this, but this gives a blueprint to move forward as well.
Yes. Yeah. And sort of, I guess, just draws like maybe a different perspective that we didn't include or look at before.
Okay.
And just, yeah, provides an extra connection to have these discussions with other groups who are sort of going through the same process as well.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councillor DeLong, you have a question?
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. So I think this is fantastic. I'm really happy to see meaningful anti-racism come to this table. I checked out the website. I think we'd be the 11th municipality signing on, along with a number of other organizations. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, so there are currently 30 organizations and or municipalities signed to the charter currently. The only other organization or municipality on the South Shore is the municipality of Chester. So it would be the second one on the South Shore to sort of sponsor and promote this policy.
Are there any other questions? If not, we do have a motion to bring forward. Councillor Hubley, would you be able to do that for us?
Yes.
It's 9.1.5, please.
Yes, thank you. This is great work.
Thank you.
To the Chair and members of Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommends that Municipal Council adopt and authorize the Mayor to sign the Anti-Racism Charter as presented, and I so move.
Councillor DeLong seconds that. Is there any discussion on the motion? Questions been called for? All those in favor? And we don't have anyone online right now, so the motion has been approved. And
thank
unanimously.
You.
Thank you very much, Andrew. All right. We have one more thing. 9.2.1 from our planning department. Proposed modal policy 097 anti-idling, and it is Kayla.
I Everyone hear me okay? Okay. Good afternoon, committee chair and committee members. I'm here to present to you today to the Policy Strategy Committee an anti-idling policy to recommend to the council on February 27th.
Kayla, people may ask you questions throughout.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you. So just since this is a new policy, I took the liberty to create a PowerPoint just to dive into the different aspects of the policy, just to provide a better understanding of why we're doing this. So for our agenda, I'll be going into an introduction of the anti-idling policy and why essentially we are here today and created one. Background information on anti-idling, a policy overview, the next steps, a budget breakdown, a recommendation, and a conclusion. So the creation of an anti-idling policy for our municipality stems from a goal set forth in our local climate action plan, also known as our LCAP 2030. So specifically under Action 6, which is under our Category 2 of low carbon transportation, this underscores the need to establish an anti-idling policy within the 2022 and 2024 timeframe. So this is why this policy has been developed. So a little bit of background on idling. So what is idling? So idling occurs when a driver is not actively accelerating or decelerating their vehicle. So for example, if they're parked with their engine running or waiting in line is considered to be idling. So while idling is necessary and is an essential function of a vehicle, as the engine is operating at a low speed to maintain basic functions, this is needed as well as at a stop sign or, you know, at the lights, you know, you have to stop but not necessarily shutting off your vehicle. However, there is a threshold of excessive idling over 1 minute can waste fuel and contribute to air pollution. So the rationale behind the 1 minute is idling for more than 10 seconds uses more fuel than restarting your engine. So the break-even time to offset potential maintenance costs to the starter and your battery is under 60 seconds. So if you're stopped for more than 60 seconds, except in traffic, it is advised by the Department of Environment and Climate Change to turn off your vehicle. So we have an example here, and this example was from the South Shore Regional Center for Education. So this policy is their 380 policy, which was approved in July of 2023. And this policy insists that no vehicle should be idling unnecessarily or on school property. So where practical, they also decided they would put signs, post it, requesting drivers to turn off their engines, as well as schools were encouraged to establish anti-idling campaigns. And the regional executive director was in charge of this. So I went around to different communities that are surrounding MODL, and a jurisdictional background revealed that among our neighboring areas, only the municipality of the County of Kings has implemented an anti-idling policy, and this policy only applies to municipal vehicles, council, and employees. So municipal vehicles and equipment on municipal property during municipal business, including council employees. Additionally, their contractors are required to minimize idling and while performing work duties, and this is stipulated in their contracts. So just to be a little bit of background on why anti-idling is important, pretty self-explanatory, but reduced air pollution. So anti-idling reduces the emissions of harmful pollutants like carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxide, improving air quality, and potentially, hopefully, reducing respiratory issues. For lower greenhouse gas emissions, by reducing unnecessarily engine idling, less carbon... less carbon monoxide and other greenhouse gases are released into the atmosphere, helping mitigate climate change. For three is our healthier communities. So decreased idling means less exposure to harmful pollutants, leading to improved respiratory health, lower rates of asthma and other respiratory diseases. Four, we have preservation of our natural resources. So anti-idling conserves finite resources like gasoline and diesel fuel, reducing our dependency on fossil fuels and minimizing the environmental degradation associated with extraction and consumption of fossil fuels. And finally, with our economic savings, anti-idling measures can result in significant savings by reducing fuel consumption, maintenance expenses, and it overall extends your vehicle's lifespan. And also, more on the provincial and federal side, healthcare costs associated with air pollution-related illnesses as well can be reduced. So the general provision of this policy is all individuals operating a vehicle within the municipality, including idle-free zones, are strongly encouraged to limit idling to 1 minute or less. So we do have some main objectives of this policy, which is overall the awareness. So raising awareness about idling, the effects of idling, and what we can do to, you know, reduce our overall greenhouse gas emissions. So for community involvement, we want to encourage responsible vehicle practices. So residents, private businesses, educational institutions, and other community organizations would be invited to pledge a commitment to reduce idling on their properties. For educational materials, we plan on having pamphlets, brochures, online resources to provide information on the impact of idling for an air quality, greenhouse gas emissions, and public health. Our idle-free signs will be strategically placed in idle-free zones and promote to encourage anti-idling practices. So, and finally, for our main objective of awareness, we will be creating an idle-free zone map. So this map will display all designated idle-free zones, which will be accessible on the municipal website for public reference. So we do have...
What are the idle free zones?
I'll be getting into that.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Yes, I'll be diving all into that soon. So we do have exemptions for this policy. There are, you know, some scenarios and times when idling will be necessary. So, for example, accessible vehicle features, so necessary to operate lift equipment, other essential mechanisms designed to aid people with disabilities into and out of vehicles. Emergency vehicles, such as ambulances, fire trucks, and police vehicles requiring to idle due to an emergency situation. Service vehicles, so that would be including utility trucks, maintenance vehicles carrying out operations requiring to power their equipment, like Nova Scotia Power, for example. Public and private transportation, so vehicles, buses, ferries, Ubers, cabs, shuttle services, tourism-related vehicles operating public or private entities to transport passengers from one location to another. And transportation and preservation of perishable goods, so vehicles like food trucks, transportation trucks that are carrying cargo, they may need to maintain idling for refrigeration to preserve their cargo quality and maintain food safety standards. And finally, for safety measures, you know, the removal of ice, snow, so, you know, those things in the winter that can really cause you know, a danger to ensure that safe and obstructed views are happening. So our next step would involve seeking council's guidance to identify areas in MODL with frequent idling. So the planning department will collaborate with recreation department to decide on three zones and present them to council for approving. Where engineering would install the signage, or they would get someone like Gerhardt's to install them. So then upon policy adoption, we'll designate high traffic sites on municipal properties as idle-free zones, so subject to council approval. So while the general provision of limiting idling to 1 minute or less applies to the entirety of the municipality, these zones will enhance anti-idling practices with strategically placed signs. And again, an idle-free zone map will be created to display these zones across our municipality. So here are just two examples of potential content for our idle-free zone signs. As you guys know, we are currently implementing a wayfinding and signage strategy for consistency in our branding. So these illustrations serve not as finalized designs, because we want to ensure that we're maintaining consistency with the strategy for the idle-free zones as well. So just a little budget breakdown. As part of our 2023-2024 budget, $2,000 was allocated to this project. So distributed across three categories, we have the signage, installation equipment, and labor costs. So the breakdown for total of three signs. So the installations is as followed. For three signs, we'd have $150, $400 for mounting hardware, and $800 of labor costs if engineering was not able to take on this this project.
Mayor Bolivar-Gessen, you have a question?
So the amount of money that you're identified here that was in last year's budget?
Yes.
I would think that if we're moving forward with an anti-idling program, that they should be in all of our parking lots and all of our municipal parks at one time, rather than identifying only three and moving with that. It just seems a very small gesture to do three compared to the amount of parking lots that we probably do have throughout the areas. So I don't know, and I'm not sure where these three are proposed. I think you said that you would bring that back where the three would be, but we definitely need, it should be in our front, it should be in our back parking lot here, and that's not considering River Ridge Commons, the Mark, or any of the other Hurdles Beach, wherever we have parking lots. So if we're moving forward with this, I'm sure that it would be more financially feasible to do it and go out and get a contract to put them all up at the same time.
Yeah, point noted. Agreed.
So it is recommended.
Yeah. Councillor Bell, you have a question?
Thank you. just for clarification, this is really a feel-good program which actually does have merit for those who respect our planet. However, we have not proposed any policing of this policy, or at least that, not at this time. When I go forward around the town and other places and I see the various drive-throughs locally and elsewhere, I just shake my head. Like, I don't go through a drive-through because I don't believe in them. I do believe there are handicapped people who need that type of service, but when I see people sitting in a 150 Ford truck four-wheel drive idling for 10 minutes to pick up a coffee, that really upsets me. So we're asking persons to voluntarily commit to this policy. So this is promoted as a policy, but not a bylaw. It's more or less an educational program that we're trying to promote. Is that how I'm supposed to understand this?
Yeah, that is correct. As this is a policy, there is no legal teeth to it, right? So it's more of an awareness component and educating our residents and visitors of anti-idling.
I would certainly support it because I believe in protecting our planet. But you might not believe it. There are some people in this community that don't believe in climate change and they certainly don't believe in their inconvenience of asking them to turn off their vehicle. But I'll take the chance on what happens on that.
I know for myself that when I'm waiting for in traffic, when there is construction and we're waiting a long time, I always turn off my vehicle and just kind of sit there and just wait and relax.
Yep.
It automatically shuts up. Okay. So we do have a motion, and I'd like to ask Councillor Moore if she could bring that forward, please.
Certainly. To the Chair and members of the Policy Strategy Committee, I move that Policy Strategy Committee recommend to Municipal Council that Council adopt MODL 097 anti-idling policy as presented, and hereby gives 7 days notice of Council's intention to adopt the policy at the February 27, 2024 Council meeting. And I so move.
We have a seconder. Councillor DeLong, any discussion on this motion? Seeing question called for, all those in favor? The motion has been approved unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you all very much for patiently being here today for our extended Policy and Strategy Committee meeting. And could I have a motion to adjourn? Nope. I have to say that Councillor Wynot was second, and Mayor Bolivar Getson seconded. All those in favor? And we are adjourned.